In God's holy word, Proverbs chapter 30, the word of the living God. And our text today is verses 2 through 6. Proverbs 30, verses 2 through 6. Hear now God's very word. Surely I am too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has wrapped up the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? Surely you know. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Well, let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come this day to worship you, we thank you that not only can we talk to you, exclaiming our praise to you, confessing our sin, Lord, asking for forgiveness afresh, confessing that our trust is only and wholly in you, Lord Jesus, to make us right with you, the living God, to keep us, to grow us. Lord, we thank you that not only can we respond to you, but Lord, you speak to us. And Lord, that's what we need. Lord, we need you to come by your Holy Spirit to revive our hearts, to give us fresh life. We who are your little children, who have experienced the new birth, who have repented and believed in you, some of us many, many, many years ago. But Lord, we are in constant need of your saving presence, of your keeping. And Lord, if there be any in this place, Lord, you know our hearts. Or if there be any who will listen to your word, Lord, that are apart from you, touch them and make them alive from the dead. Open their eyes and give them, Lord, a heart that beats for you, a heart that would repent, a heart that would turn from living for self, and a heart that would turn from living against you, a heart to turn to you, a heart to embrace you, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, please come and walk in our midst now and show us yourself, Lord Jesus. And it's in Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, it's interesting that these words are declared by this fella, Agur, and he identifies himself in verse 1 as the man. The term man there is Gibor. It's mighty one, warrior. And it's striking because here's a warrior. We really don't know the identity of, for sure, any of these people in verse 1. But what we know is whoever this person is, He identifies himself as a mighty warrior. And he has quite a testimony. And I want us to look at his testimony today. Because the testimony of Agur, it's the testimony of every man, woman, boy, girl who knows Jesus. It's our testimony. So what does Agur teach us about being a Christian? What does Agur teach us about being a person who has wisdom? Well, first of all, in verse 2, we see his testimony of what he has and is apart from the grace of God. Apart from God coming and rescuing him, even though he's a mighty warrior, he says, I got a problem. Even though he's this mighty warrior, even though he's a mighty man, here's his testimony. Verse 2, surely I am too stupid to be a man. He says, left to myself, I don't understand anything. I don't know who I am. I don't know who God is. I don't know what's right. I don't know what's wrong. Left to myself, all I can do is make a big mess. Left to myself, all I have is the lack of discernment. You know, this phrase, I have not the understanding of a man. You remember we looked at that last Lord's Day, this word discernment, understanding, insight. And we went over to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and you remember the testimony of King David about the sons of Issachar who were in his army. The sons of Issachar, you remember? They understood the times. They had wisdom and insight. They knew what Israel ought to do. They understood reality. They understood their times and they had discernment. They knew how to take the Word of God and plug it in to everyday life. And that some of these tribes, you know, it just tells how many people were in them. Issachar didn't have near as many as most of the other tribes. But David singles them out and he says, these guys, they were really, 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 really important. Even though there weren't a whole lot of them, they were men of understanding. Men who knew their times and knew what to tell Israel to do. Well, here's Agur, a mighty man, a warrior, and he says, I don't know how to live life. I don't know who I am. I don't know how to be living. And the reason is because he did not have knowledge of the Holy One. See that in verse 3? I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One. If you think you can live life without knowing your Creator and Sustainer, the Bible says, if I think that way and live that way, I'm a fool. If I think I can know who I am, if I can decide what's right and wrong, and everything go great, I'm not living in the real world. I'm not living in terms of reality, because the real world was made by Almighty God. And the real world is governed by Almighty God. And the real world has a God who has revealed to us what is right and wrong, that is based upon His own character, And He has revealed Himself in Holy Scripture. And the real world is a messed up world because of Adam's sin. And the real world is in the process of being rescued from sin by God sending His own Son to redeem His lost sheep, to redeem a people that He claims for Himself. And so that's His testimony. He says, "Surely I am too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One." The older I get, the more painful it is for me to see myself. The older I get, the more I learn, the more I look in the mirror of God's Word, the more I see how sweet it is to have Jesus. And if you know Jesus, that is your experience. The more we see, and we don't know who this man was. Perhaps he was Solomon himself, this one of Solomon's names, or perhaps it was one of Solomon's mighty men. We don't know. What we do know is he identifies himself as a mighty warrior, but he says, "Left to myself, apart from the grace of God, I'm too stupid to be a man." And the reason why I don't have insight, I have not the insight of a man, is because I haven't learned wisdom. I don't know the Holy One. But praise God, there is a remedy. And it is the God of creation, the God that he didn't know, who comes and reveals himself. Agur, even though he was a mighty man, in verse 4, he says, man can't know this God. Man can't be delivered from himself by himself. We live in a culture that is permeated with a false religion called secular humanism. And if you have never read the Humanist Manifestos, all you have to do is go online and Google Humanist Manifesto 1, Humanist Manifesto 2. And you will see the Bible that our culture has embraced and is living by. And it's not God's holy word, the Bible, God's very word, the word of his mouth, but it is the Bible according to man. And what can man come up with left to himself? He can't know anything. And so Agur, he says, well, how can I know this God? Well, it's not going to be by man looking at himself, man looking into himself, man looking to other men. And so Agur, he says, how can we know who made us? Well, who's able to go up into heaven and then come back down and tell us? Who's able to do that? Do you know anybody who's gone up to heaven and come back down and said, here's who God is, here's what truth is, here's what right and wrong is? Who has the power to fix what's wrong? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? You know, we can do a lot of things now, but we can't control the wind, can we? We can't stop a tornado. But there is a God who reigns in heaven, who has wrapped up the waters in a garment. Who sends the rain? I mean, I'm amazed at the way our National Oceanic Administration can guess what the weather is going to be. They do pretty good, you know. But they don't control the weather. Only God. And so Agur, he says, how are we going to know who this God is who made us? Because even an atheist, when he's in a hard spot, and I won't go through talking about illustrations of this, but I was talking with a man who was a coal miner, and he was with a co-worker who denied that God existed, and he got hurt down in the mine. And you know what was the first thing that came out of the mouth? He wasn't killed, but he was hurt terribly in a mining accident. You know what the first thing was that came out of this professing atheist's mouth? Oh, God, help me. Testimony after testimony. Even the atheist knows in his heart that God is. But man can't know this God unless God tells us. What is his name? What is his son's name? Surely you know. Who is God? Well, praise God, he has revealed himself. And I want you to look at verse 5 and 6. Every word of God proves true. God's word, the revelation of himself in Holy Scripture. Almighty God tells us, he delivers us from this condition that we see in verse 2 and 3. God himself comes, this God who created the heavens and the earth, who speaks, telling us there's a God who made me when the sun comes up, this God who testifies of himself, just as we consider the human body. I mean, how we get here? I mean, I'm real. I can pinch myself. Where'd I come from? Why am I here? What's right? What's wrong? How should society be ordered? How should we define right and wrong? How should we define what a marriage is? Where are we going to look? Praise God. There is someone who delivers us from this condition of being stupid, of being without insight or discernment. God speaks. God reveals himself in Holy Scripture. And the written word is all about the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. And so here in verses 5 and 6, we see the God who comes and he tells us. He delivers us. He saves us. And how are we going to know this God? The Word of God. God speaks. Holy Scripture. And we have this warning in verse 6. Don't add to his words. Elsewhere in Scripture, the Lord says, don't take away. These 66 books, Holy Scripture, that's what God calls upon us to be looking to and listening to that we might have life. And the written word is all about the living word. The Son of God who comes, he did come down from heaven. He does tell us the name. He does give us the identity. But he gives us more than just revealing the character of God. He gives us salvation. And that's what we see in verse 5. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. Jesus is a shield. He's the place where you can run and be safe. The Lord Jesus covers us. He covers our sin when we confess our sins, as we read there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins to Jesus, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This idea of a shield, turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Abram has just been on a hair-raising adventure of rescuing his nephew Lot. He was living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and Chedorlaomer and some of those kings that were under him come down and attack the kings of the cities on the plain, and they capture, and Lot is carried off with his family. And a servant escapes and comes and tells Abraham, you know, here's what's happened, and by the way, your nephew Lot, he's been captured. And so Abraham, gets the men in his household, 300 trained men, and they go, and the Lord blesses, and Abraham rescues with the blessing of God, Lot. Scary. Abraham has been through all kinds of scary things. Abraham at times has struggled with doubt. Abraham's been scared. Abraham has sinned by telling his wife Sarah, listen now, we're going into a place where there's no fear of God, and when people ask, are you my wife, you tell them you're my sister because you're a beautiful woman, and you know, they'll kill me and take you. So you just say, and what a disaster. But the Lord has rescued his servant Abraham. And the thing that had made Abraham the servant of the Lord is that the Lord Jesus himself had come to this man who lived in a foreign land worshiping idols. And the Lord Jesus said, Abraham, you're mine. You follow me. And Abraham saw the great I am. And he captured his heart. And Jesus preached the gospel. Abraham, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And Abraham, by faith, the New Testament tells us he understood that this was the promise of Messiah. Messiah's going to come through you, Abraham. Abraham believed, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And so the Lord was his shield. The Lord had saved him. The Lord had washed his sins away. The Lord was with him. The Lord protected him. When Abraham would stray and stumble, the shield would come and reclaim him. When Abraham would be scared, the Lord would come and say, now, Abraham, you need to trust in me. When Abraham would take matters into his own hand and do a foolish thing like wickedly taking another wife in defiance of what God had revealed in his holy word, and Ishmael comes on the scene, the Lord doesn't say, Abraham, you dummy, I'm just not going to have anything to do with you. No, it's a mess. Sin always causes a mess. But the Lord is a shield. The Lord is a shield. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. When we listen to the Word of God, when God comes by His Spirit and brings His Word to our heart, Jesus becomes our shield. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 33. And here we have Moses' words. And in verse 29, here's this declaration now for the people of God. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. And if you knew the Hebrew, that word saved would jump out and grab a hold of you. It'd make your heart leap for joy. Because you know what the word there is? It's the word that is the name Joshua, Yeshua. It is the verb form of God saving. You're the people that are saved. The people who know Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. The people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help. What does God do to be a shield? He saves us. And then He keeps us and He blesses us. Your enemies shall come fawning to you and you shall tread upon their backs. And so this mighty man in the book of Proverbs, that's quite a testimony, isn't it? He says, left to myself, I'm a wreck. Left to myself, I'm too stupid to be a man. That's quite a testimony. I don't know who I am, why I'm here, what's right and wrong. I don't even know how to define marriage. Left to myself. I'm even confused about how many genders there are. I'm even confused, left to myself, about the most basic things about how life is to be lived. And it's a hopeless situation because there is no man who can figure it out. No group of men collectively, but God, praise your name. You have spoken your word. And when you come by your Spirit and take your written word and you reveal the living word, you become my shield. We're a people who repent and believe in Jesus. We run and take refuge in Him. We say, Lord Jesus, I need your blood to make me clean. And I need your standard of right and wrong to tell me how to think and how to live. And Lord Jesus, my life now is wrapped up in you. I've been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but it's you, Jesus, living in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Lord, you're my shield. You're my shield. And Lord, you make me have victory. Lord, give me grace to walk with you. Be my shield. Let's look at another passage over in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. Psalm 3. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. You remember? Remember, David's the king. He's a man after God's own heart. But oh, did David stumble. I mean, he stumbled big time, didn't he? Instead of doing his job that God had given him to do, he decided not to go out with his army. And he stayed back in Jerusalem. And he had time on his hands. He was bored. And he was walking on the roof of his palace. And he saw a woman bathing. He sends word. What's her name? He sends for her. She comes. He sleeps with her. She becomes pregnant. She sends word. Guess what? He goes, don't worry about it. I'll fix it. He sends for her husband, who's on the front lines. Uriah the Hittite comes. He comes back to Jerusalem. He comes home. But he doesn't go and sleep with his wife. David thinks that would have fixed it. We'll just say the baby is his. But he doesn't sleep with his wife. So he gets him drunk, and that doesn't work. And so David, he not only has committed adultery, but now he writes the death warrant of Uriah the Hittite. And he seals it up and puts it in Uriah's hand and sends Uriah back to General Joab. And Joab reads it. And wickedly, Joab goes, okay, the king said, press the attack on the city wall. You know what'll happen. Men will fall. Men will die. Make sure Uriah's at the front. David does that. Uriah dies in battle. Word comes back. Your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead. Uriah was one of David's mighty men. One of his trusted bodyguards. What betrayal. Well, the Lord sends Nathan the prophet. And Nathan comes, and you remember the story that he told in 2 Samuel 11 about the rich man who had this flock, and he had a visitor come, and he doesn't go and take one of the many from his flock, but he goes to his neighbor who's a poor man and only has one lamb. And he steals that one lamb and kills the lamb that belongs to his neighbor, that's like a pet to him. And David is stirred to anger, and he says, oh, the man that did this must surely die. Now, that wasn't what justice called for. What justice called was restitution to be made. It was a heinous thing, though, and David is stirred up, and he's, oh, the man that did this, he deserves to die to do such a thing. And the Lord sent his prophet, and he said, David, you're the man. And he said, look what I've given you. And you go over here and steal another man's wife and then murder him. David, you did this in secret, but I'm going to have the consequence of your sin. I'm not going to kill you. That's what you deserve. I'm not going to put you to death. But trouble will never leave your home. This was done in secret, but in broad daylight. Your wives will be taken. And they'll sleep with somebody else in broad daylight. David, the little baby that Bathsheba is carrying, I'm going to take this child. And trouble will never leave your household, David, because you have given occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme my name. You know what David did? He repented. He humbled himself before the Lord. He asked for forgiveness, and the Lord forgave him. He fasted, hoping and thinking maybe the Lord will spare this little child. But the Lord takes that child. And then the Lord does an amazing thing. And I want you to keep your finger there at Psalm 3. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, you would think that's the end of the story. But look at verse 24. Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and went into her and lay with her, and she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him, and sent a message by Nathan the prophet. So he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. You know what Jedidiah means? Jedidiah means loved of the Lord. Now this is an amazing display and reminder of God's amazing grace. Yes, sin is real and it makes a mess. It always does. But there is mercy and forgiveness with Jesus. He's a shield. He's a shield. Even when Even when we sin, when we turn to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, God will bless us. He'll bless. What an amazing God that it was through that line that Messiah would descend. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that give comfort and hope to sinners who flee to Jesus? Indeed it does. Well, back to Psalm 3. One of the problems that David incurred that was a consequence, one of the troubles that came to his home after that was his son Absalom ends up conspiring to overthrow King David. That was one of the consequences of David's sin. And the Lord had forgiven him, and the Lord had restored him, but he had to live with the consequences. And so Absalom now is threatening his life, and David's on the run. But what's David's hope? Look at verse 1. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Even in our own experience, when we stumble in this side of heaven, even though a Christian is somebody who loves Jesus and we want to please and honor him, there is none of us who perfectly walks with Jesus. We all stumble. And so, what's our hope? That Jesus is our shield. That even though sin is real and the consequences of sin is real, that we have a Savior who will be a shield to us. And indeed, we can take refuge in our Lord Jesus. And as we do, He is our shield. On over in the book of Psalms, Psalm 33, turn there with me. Another passage that deals with this whole matter of the Lord Jesus being a shield. Psalm 33. Down at the end of this psalm, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. How do we experience Jesus being our shield? We hope in the Lord. We wait for the Lord. And He promises. He says, I'll be a shield to you. I'll take care of you. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. Well, this God who reveals Himself in Holy Scripture, He promises to take care of us. And He's able to take care of us. And I want to just close by reading just a few Proverbs. And I want you to think about who the God is who promises to be our shield. First of all, I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 19. Look at verse 21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. How'd your to-do list go this past week? Did you get everything done on your to-do list? Many are the plans of a man. We make our little to-do list, okay? Here we go. Many, and just think about it now. Every day I have to revise mine. If I can remember to look at my list. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. That's who the God is who says, I'll be your shield. My purposes will stand. Let's look at another passage. Look at Proverbs chapter 21. Verse 1, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. That's the God who says, I'll be a shield to you. He has the king's heart in his hand. And whatever the king does, he may think he's in charge. I mean, is anybody over a king? Most kings don't think so, but there is a king of kings, and our God, who promises to be a shield to us, is so powerful and mighty that he even directs the heart of kings like channels of water to go whichever way he wishes, whichever way God wishes. Or let's go over to the book of Proverbs chapter 16. Verse 33. Have you ever heard somebody say, boy, that was lucky. You sure were lucky that you weren't standing under that tree when it fell. Have you ever heard people say that? Look at verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Even things that appear to us to be just chance. The Lord, who promises to be a shield to his people, he says, you can trust me. I'll take care of you. I've got it in my hands. Things are not out of control. They may seem to be to me. They may seem to be to you. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Verses 5 and 6. The thoughts of the righteous are just. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. No, that's not the verse I was looking for. Well, I wrote down the wrong reference. Let's see, maybe it's... Let me just read the verse. I'll find the quote later, okay? Because I wrote the verse out. Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. That's the God who promises to be our shield. He says, look, I know how to take care of you. I know how to hang on to my little lambs. I know how to bless you. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. God says, I'll bless you. I'm going to shower upon you healing, refreshment. That's a general promise. Sometimes, like we read in the book of Job, when God's people love him, sometimes we go, now wait a minute, Lord, what's happening? But he promises to be a shield. And he was at work even with Job. Look at verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. See, there's a God who reigns. He's powerful. He's mighty. He's good. You know, one of the little prayers that children are taught to pray. My mama taught it to me. And we didn't say it at every meal, but sometimes we would. God is what? Great. And God is what? Good. That's profound. That's what Agur comes to see. because he comes to know Jesus, that my God is great. You don't want to set aside the Word of God and be found a liar and God rebuke you. You don't want God to be, because he's great. But he's also good. He's good. He promises to bless his people. He's full of mercy. He's full of mercy. Well, Proverbs chapter 30. Let's look at one more thing in here. Verse 5, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and be found a liar. And look at the end of verse 4. What is his name? This God who is so great and powerful. What's his name? What is his son's name? Surely you know. And isn't the Word of God, isn't the Bible precious because it tells us who this God is? It tells us his name. The one true living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he's given his Son and given him a name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And a Christian is somebody who says, Lord Jesus, I want to bow before you. I delight to bow before you, and I take you as my Redeemer. You are my Lord. You bought me with your blood, and I'm yours. And you know what? Everybody will bow. On that great day, everybody will bow. And you're either going to bow as somebody who in this life confessed Jesus is Lord, and that will be the most splendid experience you will ever have, to bow before the Lord Jesus on that great day when he comes again in glory. And we will bow to welcome the King home, our Savior, our shield. And he will welcome us as his own little children. But if you don't have Jesus as your shield, on that great day, you will bow, but it will be in terror and horror. Run to Jesus. Give yourself to him. Confess your sins to him. May this testimony of Agur be my testimony and your testimony. Left to myself, Lord, I'm too stupid to be a man. I don't even know who I am or why I'm here or what's right or wrong. I can't know you. But Lord, how I praise you. You've spoken your word. What I could not know about you, left to myself, Lord, you have come and you've revealed yourself to be my shield in Jesus. Powerful testimony. Is it your testimony? And here's what it's going to look like. If you have Jesus as your shield, if you understand that God is great and God is good, you're going to be wanting to know more about Jesus. You're going to want to be closer and closer to Jesus. You're going to be reading the Bible. You're going to be seeking after him. When the Lord puts his spotlight on something in your life, you're going to be quick to confess it to Jesus. And if you've done wrong against somebody else, you'll go to them and say, Lord has forgiven me. I'm asking you to forgive me. That's how Jesus wants us to live. That's what it looks like to have the testimony of Agur. Agur said, I'm a mighty man, but apart from Jesus, I'm too stupid to be a man. I don't know anything left of myself. And Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to be my Redeemer. And I want you to be my shield. And Lord, I want to know you. I want to feed upon you. I don't want you to rebuke me, Lord. I don't want to be found a liar. I don't want to live against you. Well, that's what our life is. Our life is to know Jesus. Not only trusting Him in our hearts, but seeking to have a Christian home. Seeking to serve Jesus in the business place. Seeking to take our stand for Jesus in the public square. That's what life is. That's what Jesus is calling us to. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for this testimony of Agur. And Lord, we pray that You would make it our testimony. Lord, how we thank You for the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, and that this written Word reveals to us the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we ask that You would give us wisdom and knowledge of You, the Holy One. Not just that our gray matter has a new wrinkle in it, but Lord, that our hearts would be drawn to trust in You, Lord Jesus, and we would be delighting in You and seeking to walk with You and honor You and please You. Oh Lord, deliver us from man. Deliver us from ourselves. Deliver us from other men. Lord, make us a people who live by faith in You, Lord Jesus. Give us life. In Jesus we pray. Amen.